With a few taps of my finger, I beckoned emergency roadside assistance and a tow truck to my car. I invite you all to unleash the full potential of your fingertips with the GEICO app. Thank you.
The FBI's investigation of the Clinton Foundation is reportedly now a very high priority. As sources tell Fox News, the year-long investigation is focusing on groups and individuals who made substantial contributions to former President Bill Clinton's charity. There are claims they expected access to the State Department when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. An investigation continues into a church fire in Mississippi that's attracted national attention.
In Greenville, an $11,000 reward is being offered to help catch the person who set fire to a black church and spray-painted the words, "Vote Trump," on the side of the building. Police say they've identified a person of interest in the case. The FBI's Brett Carr says they're looking into it
to determine if any civil rights crimes were committed.
Greenville's mayor believes it was a hate crime, but Mississippi's top election official says people shouldn't jump to any conclusions about it being politically motivated. Secretary of State Delbert Hoseman says early indications are that it wasn't. Randy Bell in Jackson.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, you can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back, but I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night. Often I struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually NON24. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmorenon24.com or call 855-856-2424.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
The Iraqi Defense Ministry saying Iraqi forces have now entered the ISIS-held city of Mosul for the first time in over 2 years as troops penetrated the eastern border of the city a few hours ago. The advance is a significant breakthrough in the offensive to take back Iraq's second-largest city from the terror group's control. This offensive began about 2 weeks ago. Major League Baseball's new world champs are back home in Chicago following a dramatic Game 7 win in Cleveland last night.
In the end, I think the stronger team won.
That's baseball historian Luke Salisbury. The Cubs hadn't won the championship since 1908. The Indians still haven't won one since 1948.
When it started to rain, I thought maybe an asteroid was going to hit the stadium and neither one of those teams would ever win.
Salisbury agrees with Cubs skipper Joe Maddon, who says the Cubs finally winning will be
good for our game.
Country music's best were saluted last night. Here's Sarah Jacobs.
The 50th anniversary of the CMA Awards is one for the record books. The memorable night opened with current and classic country artists singing a medley of the genre's biggest songs from the past 5 decades. Highlight of the opening number came when Randy Travis joined Brad Paisley, Carrie Underwood, and all of the stars as they collectively sang Forever and Ever, Amen. Travis, who continues to recover from a stroke that nearly took his life in 2013, sang the last line of the song.
Garth Brooks won the CMA Award for Entertainer of the Year. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, with just 5 days until Election Day, I'll have my thoughts on the most recent October surprise. I'll talk about the 5 skills you must have for project management, how you can find success by hitting rock bottom, While you may have to tell your salaried employees they are now hourly employees, and I'll have five tips to help manage small business growth. It's Thursday, November 3rd, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. The program is called Taking Care of Business, and it's exactly what we're going to do. But first, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 58 degrees at 12:06 here in Flemington, and today it'll be mostly cloudy with a chance of a heavy afternoon thunderstorm and showers continuing throughout the evening with a high of 75 degrees and a low of 46. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny and windy with a high of 60 degrees and a low of 31. Saturday, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 58 degrees and a low of 42. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies and breezy with a high of 60 degrees and a low of 35. A current check of the financial market shows the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 31.44 to 17,991.08. The NASDAQ is down 8.30 to 5,097.27. S&P 500 is up 1.36 to 2,099.30. Oil down 38 cents, or about $7 per barrel from last week. Down 38 cents right now, and gold is down $7.60 to $1,300.60 an ounce. I'm Jim Gano, and I approve this message. Facebook viewers, you're up to date. Now it's time to log on to HuntertonChamberRadio.com to listen to the rest of the show. Well, everybody, welcome again to another edition of Taking Care of Business. And, well, here we are. And it's hard to imagine that I'm actually saying this, but here we are, a week to go before the election, not even 5 days to go before the election. Who would believe that we've gotten to this point? Hard to imagine that when you think about everything that we've gone through, listened to, all of the rhetoric, we're finally here.
To vote for America and America first.
America's destiny is ours to choose.
We will make America safe again.
We join together to get rid of the threats we face.
Jobs, jobs, jobs.
I will be a president for all Americans.
It's absolutely amazing that, you know, as I mentioned last week, and a lot of people couldn't believe when I said it, but we started with 17 candidates. And we are now down to just the two, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump on the Republican side. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And, of course, we have the October surprise, if you will, that came out just last week. But here we are.
Ten, nine. 7, 6, 5.
5 days away from the election. Now, last Friday, we all got a surprise from FBI Director James Comey over emails found on Anthony Weiner's laptop. Weiner is the husband of close confidant to Hillary Clinton, Huma Abedin. Now, he didn't say, and this is where a lot of the Clinton supporters are up in arms right now, he didn't say that they found anything that would be revealing, telling, criminal, confidential, or anything like that. He just said that we found a new source of emails. These may be in addition to emails that they've already reviewed from Hillary Clinton's server. They could be more than what was on Hillary Clinton's server. And, you know, so now it takes so much time to finish this investigation. They're working around the clock to review these emails. And the way it was described the other night was they look at all the emails, and there's thousands of them.
First they want to do is remove all of the duplicates. Then they want to look at anything that has absolutely nothing to do with the investigation. Like if that was Huma telling Anthony Weiner to pick up bread, you know, that wouldn't have a bearing on the investigation. But then getting down to the nitty gritty, are there emails in there that might have some confidential information, and would that be a violation? So now it would appear as if, based on what all the talking heads were mentioning this morning, you could potentially have a candidate for president who gets elected and then gets indicted. Because if there's anything in these emails of a confidential nature that were sent without throughout the proper channels, that could result in an indictment. The FBI and the Department of Justice are also looking into the Clinton Foundation for mismanagement of funds and things like that. So it could also turn out that there could be a problem there as well. So we are 5 days away. Not going to spend a lot of time on this. I think people's minds are made up. If you were an early voter, mail-in voter, in some states you have the option of changing your vote. If you think that anything that came out in the last week would make you change your mind one way or the other, you have the right to do that. In some states, up to 3 times. So that call would be yours. Now, if I sound a little tired today, there's a reason for that.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs with the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all. 8-7-10.
The Chicago Cubs winning the World Series. Last night was Game 7 of the World Series, and the Cubs defeated the Indians by the score of 8-7, and now they are the World Series champions for the first time in 108 years. The curse is over, and a unique little trivia tidbit is that there are exactly 108 stitches on a baseball. Not sure if there's any karma, kismet, or anything like that, but I posted on Facebook last night. I don't think Hollywood could have scripted that any better. The Cubs go up in the first inning. Cleveland rallies back. The Cubs go up again. Cleveland ties. We're at 6-6 in the eighth inning. And then all of a sudden, you know, as we go into the ninth, continued to be tied. Now all of a sudden it rains. We've got to pull out the tarp for 17 minutes. And, you know, it was at that point that one of the players from the Cubs took the team into the weight room at Cleveland Stadium and said, guys, we know what we're doing. We know how to play baseball. Let's just play our game. And then the Cubs came out and rallied with another 2 runs. The Indians got one more. Nobody went to bed until about 1 o'clock in the morning. But what a great series. What a great win for the Cubs. And, you know, for me personally, I am a Philadelphia sports fan. I am Eagles, Flyers, and Phillies all the way. And typically, and I think if you rewind the tapes from this show back in April, I was telling you every week, you know, and the Phillies have not been mathematically eliminated yet. And if you notice, I stopped saying that right around June, July timeframe, because by that time they were already 15 games out. So when the Phillies kind of do their typical slide, then I always start rooting for the Cubs. And a couple years ago, got to see a Cubs game at Wrigley Field. My son's name was put up on the scoreboard for his birthday. We have a great picture of that. And it was just I love the architecture. I love the game. And it was just great to see. And, you know, so congratulations to the Chicago Cubs on winning their first World Series in 108 years. Got a lot going on the show today. We're going to come back and talk about the 5 skills you must have for project management. Whole lot going on here today. Stay tuned. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me as we get together every Thursday, and wanted to remind you that next Thursday, and it's a little bit of a juggling routine for me next Thursday, but I hope you'll join us at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce 28th Annual Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase. This is the Chamber's 100th anniversary, started back in 1916, and we want to make this the best expo ever. It'll be on Thursday, November 10th at Hunterdon Central Regional High School's Fieldhouse and Commons. The presenting sponsor is PNC Bank, and that'll go on from 2 p.m. till 7 p.m. The restaurant showcase starts at 5 p.m. and continues through 7 p.m. A great way for you to sample some of the fare offered by some of the great restaurants in Hunterdon County. The Chamber reminds you to buy local, buy Hunterdon. And, of course, for more information, you can call 908-782-7115 or visit our website at www.hunterdon-chamber.org. So hopefully you'll be able to join us at the Fieldhouse and Commons at Hunterdon Central Regional High School next Thursday from 2 to 7 p.m. For the Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase. So I am doing the program next week. I'll do that from 12 to 1, and then I'll shoot over to the school. So there will be time for that. And I believe Big C, Chris Bianco, will be broadcasting live from the expo. So hopefully you'll have a chance to listen in and see what's going on. But a great opportunity for you to come out and see close to 100 businesses all within Hunterdon County. Now, there may be banks. There could be a trophy store. There could be restaurants, gyms, car dealerships. So, you know, if you don't have time to drive around and see 100 businesses on your own on a Saturday afternoon, why don't you just come out? We've assembled them all together for you in one location. Hopefully we'll see you there next Thursday. Currently 12:18, time to get into the program here. Depending on your business, there's probably a certain portion of the tasks either that you do or that someone in your office does that revolves around project management. Now, project management is a demanding job that requires the presence of leadership skills to communicate effortlessly with your team. Successful project managers are highly sought after as their critical skills mean completing complex projects at a faster pace. So what are these so-called skills that define a successful project manager? Well, apart from being an intelligent conversationalist, a project manager should have a decisive mindset and execute project deliveries in a timely manner. Here are five qualities that can make you stand out among your peers as a defining and respectable project manager. The first is clear communication. The core of managerial skills revolves around good communications. You can have the best resources at your disposal, but without a good project manager to brief the stakeholders and team members, your projects could suffer from delayed deliveries, escalating risks to the relevant team. Scheduling meetings to resolve problems, informing seniors on the progress of current projects are effective measures expected from successful project managers. It's highly crucial for project managers to bolster underperforming team members and to create a strong bond among the team members. It's equally necessary to praise team members that have gone out of their way and outperformed. Communication is 80% of a project manager's criteria. If you can manage to shine in this quality, the rest will fall into place. Number two, you have to be able to solve problems. Now, problems are not new to the list of a project manager's checklist. A critical skill set to grow as a capable project manager is to find solutions to an ongoing concern. Team members are directly influenced by the ability of their project manager's problem-solving qualities. The sooner you find a solution, the faster your team can work on solving it. Be ready to take full responsibility for your team and prepare reports on how to offer solutions by consulting senior members. When project managers blame their team for their failures, this brings down the team morale, and your staff will lose their confidence to work hard. They'll also resent working for you. From acquisitions to merging into a whole new company, your opinions in problem solving is always desired by the company. Number three, you also want to be resourceful and have good time management skills. When a new project is undertaken by a team, it's the project manager's job to alert their members of upcoming scenarios, explain the project outline, as well as provide an action plan on how to complete it. You want to conduct an in-depth strategy discussion and allow all members to contribute on how to save time and resources. Consider every point that has been spoken by your team and make a final decision. An effective project manager focuses his skill set in addressing the two most important concerns: how to complete project delivery in a timely manner and how to use up the least amount of resources while doing it. Completing projects on time not only contributes to your success, but it also contributes to the triumph of your whole team. Number four, you want to develop modern strategies. Now, gone are the days when companies used to hire a project manager with a generic skill set. The modern project manager should actively establish newer and effective methods for project completion. Anticipating a major risk before it happens proves a project manager has a defensive mindset capable of saving his company from a potential loss. Shifting market trends may force you to change plans. A bold project manager doesn't shy away from making drastic decisions as well as accepting full responsibility. To prove that you are above the rest, you need to create opportunities for your team and company. Success happens to those who are open to innovative thinking. And number five, you also have to allow time for team bonding. Your team reflects your overall personality. Therefore, it's necessary to share lighter moments with them. A serious environment amidst the team creates cutthroat-like scenarios where everyone is fighting off each other to prove their performance. This reflects directly on your skill set of creating an aggressive atmosphere. Host healthy discussions and communicate with your staff. Explain that a project is not a race and is reliant on team effort. Remind them of the quote, "Together we stand, divided we fall." Buy them drinks, break tension between members, etc. A good project manager should never be a ringmaster, but rather a proficient teacher that cares for their students. So some great ideas there on how to, or five ways anyway, to be an effective project manager. Hopefully they may help you as well. You're listening to Taking Care of Business on 100inchamberradio.com. It's currently 12:22, and coming up, like I said, we've got a lot of great stories here today, and that's why I'm kind of looking forward to the election being over, because we'll be able to start talking about business again. This has just so overwhelmed everybody that I think at this point we can't wait to talk about business. Going to miss some of the fun we've had along the campaign trail, but it's time to move on. I did want to mention, Election Day is next Tuesday. The polls open here in New Jersey at 6 a.m. Two questions are on the ballot this year. There's question one and question two. The first, question one, is the constitutional amendment to permit casino gambling in two counties other than Atlantic County. Basically, what they're saying is they want a blank check. They want to be able to say somewhere, they won't say what counties, other than it has to be at least 72 miles away from Atlantic City, so figure that's everything north of the Driscoll Bridge. They want to build two casinos. Certain groups would be allowed to apply for the first casino license, and there's just too much vagueness going on here. And then the question is, do we need casinos in North Jersey or Central Jersey? And what would that do to Atlantic City? And there is an interpretive statement that says the revenue from the operation of the two casinos would be used for programs and tax relief for senior citizens and disabled residents. That's good. You approach the senior citizens and disabled, and they all vote for it. It would be also used for the recovery, stabilization, or improvement of Atlantic City and other purposes as provided by law. That's the sentence that kills you right there. When Atlantic City was first proposed, it was said that the revenue would go back into the city. They would build new housing. They would get better schools. They would build the infrastructure. They did none of that. Absolutely none of that. I've been on and off going to Atlantic City for years for concerts and everything, and I have not seen one positive change. So to say that they're going to do that here is a bunch of bull. It's not going to happen. I recommend you vote no on question one. No more casinos here in New Jersey. Casinos were great when we were the only state and Las Vegas was the only state. Now that every state has them, we just don't need more. The second question, the constitutional amendment to dedicate additional revenues to the state transportation system. This is the biggest shell game going in New Jersey right now. So what they're saying is it would dedicate all of the revenue from the state tax on motor fuels to the Transportation Trust Fund. The current dedication is 10.5 cents per gallon on gasoline and diesel fuel. This amendment would include an additional 3 cents on the tax so that it could raise maybe another $541 million per year. The problem here is that you know, and I know, if you've lived in this state for any period of time, you give a governor $541 million and they're going to find a way to blow it. Yes, the Transportation Trust Fund needs to be funded. We just had a 23 cent per gallon gas tax rate hike here in the state of New Jersey. Now they're saying, hey, let's take another 3 cents from the diesel and gasoline tax and put it towards Transportation Trust Fund. Just will not work. That money is going to be taken and it's going to pay off something else that's not needed, like a Xanadu project or a tunnel to nowhere or a tunnel to a marina. You know, it's just another way for the state to build up their coffers and then mismanage more funds. So my suggestion, vote no on question one, vote no on question two, and tell them to come back with a better idea on how we can fund the Transportation Trust Fund. Currently, it's 12:26. You're listening to Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Well, I've talked about this a few times on the program about how sometimes failure can be the best thing for someone in business. And a lot of people question me, and they're like, why would you want somebody to fail? And understand, I don't want anybody to fail. I want everybody to succeed. But sometimes the lessons that you learn when you fail, and it doesn't have to be large scale like going out of business fail, but the lessons that you learn sometimes are what gives you the motivation to come back better, stronger, and smarter. Think Steve Jobs. Now, in his new book, Rock Bottom to Rockstar, Ryan Blair talks about a number of people who've inspired him throughout his life. Entrepreneurs, mentors, artists, and anyone that he's witnessed living a rock star life, or as he says, owning their own stage. He studies the lives of great entrepreneurs so that he can learn from them. And one of the greatest examples is the late Steve Jobs. He considers himself a lifelong student of Jobs. He even has a signed photo of him on the wall of his office. He's hired people he's worked with to speak to his team, and he's watched every documentary, movie, and read every book on him that he could find. But it's not his successes he's most interested in. It's his failures. Once upon a time, Apple was the laughingstock of the technology industry. They called Jobs a has-been. They mocked them for even showing up at tech conferences. That's how bad his reputation once was, compared with today, where both Jobs and his brand are immortalized. In the book, Blair tells one particular story about how he used his rock-bottom moments with Apple as his inspiration, as he struggled to reinvent his company, Visalis. Blair became the CEO of Visalis in 2005, and since that time, they went through almost every possible scenario. They sold the company to publicly traded Blythe Incorporated in 2008. They weathered the recession and almost went bankrupt, but then generated $624 million in product sales and $97 million in profit by 2012 and bought the company back from Blythe in 2014 for $143 million, almost 2 years from their buyback date. They are right back where they started, and Blair knows it takes an element of personal magic and sometimes no less than a miracle to turn a company around. 16-plus hour days, emergency tactics, but sometimes nothing you plan goes according to plan. Like Blair, every entrepreneur spends a significant portion of his or her career struggling with the dilemma of making the most important business decisions in the face of not knowing what lies ahead. Should I sell my company? Is now a good time to exit? Are we ready to launch? In other words, is that a cliff that I'm running at full speed, or is it more flat land? Now, unless you've structured your company to avoid taking risks, like owning a Subway franchise, for instance, you're always in one of those scenarios, wondering which it's going to be. Blair calls this running at the cliff. Either way, you're sailing off the edge or you're hitting the bottom, but you've got to be prepared for both. Get used to it. So if you haven't hit bottom yet, Blair argues, you're doing something wrong. It's currently 12:30. We're going to step away for a quick news break in the weather, and when we come back, we're going to tell you how you have to. You may have to tell some of your salaried employees that they're about to become hourly. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America safe again. We will make America great again.
Donald Trump during a campaign stop yesterday as he continues his plan of multiple appearances every day. Trump's running mate Mike Pence was concentrating on Obamacare.
You know, when Donald Trump becomes president, we reelect strong Republican majorities in Congress. We're going to repeal Obamacare lock, stock, and barrel.
President Obama has been on the campaign trail for Hillary Clinton, and he says he knows and trusts her.
I trust her. I know her. And... Now, I wouldn't be supporting her if I didn't have absolute confidence in her integrity and her interest in making sure that young people have a better future.
The leader of ISIS has released an audio message where he tells his troops he's confident they will repel the Iraqi troops invading Mosul. USA Radio News.
Have you ever noticed your hair breaking off in a shower? Or has your hair become flat and lifeless? Revive your hair with Cell Therapy by Ovation, a breakthrough treatment not found in any other hair care line. Cell Therapy's unique blend of nourishing proteins, amino acids, and key nutrients treat the scalp and cuticle, defending against breakage, for hair that is thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier. Hundreds of thousands of clients swear by Ovation Cell Therapy. In fact, over 94% of Ovation customers say they recommend Cell Therapy to their friends. And Ovation Cell Therapy is risk-free with their 365-day, 100% money-back guarantee. So stop the breakage, repair split ends, and add more bounce and shine into your poor lifeless hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Just go online to ovationhair.com and new customers get a special introductory discount when you select USA News at checkout. Great hair is just one click away at ovationhair.com and remember to select USA News.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. And taking a look at the weather, it's currently 58 degrees, beautiful day outside at 12:32. And it'll be mostly cloudy with a chance of a heavy afternoon thunderstorm this afternoon. Showers continuing throughout the evening with a high of 75 and a low of 46. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny and windy with a high of 60 degrees and a low of 31. For Saturday, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 58 and a low of 42. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 60 degrees and a low of 35. So get out there and enjoy it while you can because it's going to get colder pretty quick. Yes, it's time to get taken care of business. And if you're in business, there may be a little bit of uncomfortable business that you have to take care of with some of your employees. Now, as you know, in December, there's a lot of changes coming, and some of your current salaried employees may not meet the threshold and then have to be considered a hourly employee. Now, the new salary rule putting the overtime threshold at $47,476 per year goes into effect on December 1st, 2016. And you have to tell your employees about that if they're near that threshold. Some of your salaried employees are about to become hourly, and there's nothing that you can do to stop it. Starting on December 1st, the minimum salary needed to qualify for a salary exemption will jump from $455 a week, or $23,660 per year, to $913 per week, $47,476. If you have employees who are currently exempt from overtime who earn less than $47,476 per year, you'll have to change the way that they're paid. How should you tell your employees? Some of them won't take it very well. You should have managers sit down one-on-one to deliver the news, but you'll also want to follow up with written communication. There's various sample letters online that you can use to get that process started, and you'll obviously need to modify it for your specific situation and, you know, obviously pay attention to local laws as well. A sample might go something like this. Dear employee, as you may have heard, the Federal Department of Labor has made some changes that will affect you. Starting on December 1st, 2016, you will become eligible for overtime pay. This means that you will no longer be paid a straight salary, but will be paid by the hour. Your new pay rate, and for example, let's say you would write hourly rate $20 per hour. The overtime rate, $30 per hour. You will receive this rate of pay for any hours over 40 that you work in a single week. Now, there's going to be a lot of frequently asked questions that come with this change, like, what will my new pay look like? An employee's new pay will now be dependent on how many hours they work each week. If they work a regular 40-hour week, their paycheck will look almost exactly like the current paycheck. If they work more than 40 hours, they're going to have to receive overtime pay. If they work less than 40 hours, they'll have the option of receiving pay only for the hours they worked or using some of their PTO, personal time off, in order to make up the full 40 hours. If they have no PTO available, then they'll receive a smaller paycheck. They ask, will I have to punch a time clock? Yes. Under the new regulations, all time has to be recorded. The company should then train them on how to record their time in meetings scheduled over the next few weeks. Whether you work in an office or at a client's location or at home, all time must be recorded accurately. Can they work overtime whenever they want? That answer is no. All overtime work must be first approved by the supervisor. The company goal is to keep overtime at a minimum. If you work overtime without permission, you will be paid for it, but you will also receive a warning. Ask your supervisor before working more than 40 hours in 1 week. The question of, what if I want to work more hours? Am I willing to do it without extra pay? You may not do this. Federal law prohibits you from working unreported hours. All work must be reported on an employee's time card. This includes any work they do at home, including any work-related phone calls. Failure to report your time correctly will result in disciplinary proceedings up to and including termination. Companies have to realize, or do realize, that you are used to working until you get the job done, but the law is changing and this is no longer allowed. The company can face steep fines if employees work off the clock, even voluntarily. If an employee were to ask, is this a demotion? Your answer should be no. The only reason for the change in your pay calculation is a new rule from the federal government. Your job title, level, and responsibilities all remain the same. If you have difficulty completing your task during normal working hours, please speak with a supervisor. Your supervisor should be happy to work with you to prioritize your workload so that things can be accomplished in a timely fashion. Then other employees may ask, can I still work remotely? Yes. If your boss currently allows you to work from home, you may continue to do so. You will be required to track your hours just as you would if you were in the office. How will this affect things like doctor's appointments? As an hourly paid employee, you will have to either make up the time you are away from your desk or use your personal time off to cover things like doctor's appointments, school meetings, or a long lunch. Can I take comp time instead of overtime? If you work 50 hours 1 week, you cannot just work 30 hours the next and receive a paycheck for a normal 80-hour pay period. Federal law requires that you receive overtime pay for the 50-hour week, even if you work fewer hours the next week. Comp time is not allowed for non-exempt employees. So if you run a business and you have employees that are at that $47,000 level, it's time to do some research. You may want to possibly talk with an attorney. You may want to talk with an accountant. But you definitely need to start talking to your employees and getting them ready, because this goes into effect on December 1st. And if you've ever sat through an audit with the workforce folks from the state of New Jersey or in your state, wherever you're listening to this program, not pleasant when they, kind of slap you on the wrist and say, hey, this employee didn't fill out a timesheet, or this person didn't sign their timesheet, or you're the owner, you haven't filled out a timesheet. They want to know your time as well, whether you take a paycheck or not. So very important that you get out there and get in front of this, because it will definitely have an impact on your business. Currently it's 12:39. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andchamberradio.com. And we're so glad that you do that with us every week. Question for you in business. How big is too big. And here are five tips to help manage small business growth. Now, as your business grows, and most people when they get into business want it to grow, you shouldn't lose sight of the values that your customers love or the identity that helped you succeed. Now, you've been working hard to grow your business, and now that it's finally taken off, by all accounts, that should be a good thing. Unless, of course, you can't effectively manage that growth. Truth is, if you're not prepared for rapid growth, it could actually do your business more harm than good. Everything from service to quality control could suffer, and before long, you could lose the hands-on approach that your customers have come to love. Sound familiar? Then we have a couple of tips here for managing growth before your identity as a small business spirals out of control. The first is to manage your cash flow. This is the demise of many small businesses, so it's best to take charge before it's too late. If sales are happening faster than your ability to purchase supplies or inventory, that's a problem. Likewise, make sure your customers pay their invoices on time so that you're never short on cash. Pay attention to quality control. As your business grows, you will need to maintain the same high-quality standards that got you where you are today. Establishing strong internal systems and guidelines for ensuring that quality remains a top priority and assign the task of overseeing it to someone that you can trust. You also have to hire the right people and then delegate. Gone are the days when you could manage every employee and every facet of the business on your own. You have to realize when it's time to hire a manager and then step back and let that person do their job. Number four, mind the mission. Sometimes growth happens so rapidly that your mission played a big role in your company's success up to this point, and the company culture gets lost in the shuffle. Hold on to that mission by making sure that managers and new hires understand and embrace your values and stay true to your original plan for the business. And most importantly, number five, remember your customers. These are the people who got you started, and you need them to see you through your growth. So keep their needs front and center. Ask for customer suggestions and listen to what they say. Then develop a strategy to ensure you stay connected to this all-important client base, even as you continue to expand the business. So there's a couple of tips on growth and how you need to manage that, not let it get out of control too quickly, because when that happens, it can actually do more harm than good and can actually ruin your business, particularly the reputation of your business. So you want to make sure that you stay in front of that as much as possible. What else can we talk about here today, kids? We got a lot of stories. Some are a little bit longer than others, but let's get to it. With eight efficiency lessons that business owners can learn from manufacturing. Now, no matter what type of business you run, improving your efficiency can have a positive impact on your bottom line and services. And I've always found that it's useful to be eclectic when it comes to looking for advice. You may think your dry cleaning business or auto mechanic shop can't possibly learn from businesses that are in completely different industries, but you might be surprised at what you can learn if you open your eyes and mind. In my business, which is technically a small manufacturing company, we build trophies, signs, and things like that, it occurred to me that I've learned a lot from our successes and trials, and I've been able to put those lessons to use in my business to improve my efficiency. I also look at shows like Shark Tank and The Profit and Undercover Boss to see what they're doing wrong and how I may learn from it. So here are a few helpful things I've learned from manufacturing folks that may be helpful to your company too. Number one, you want to eliminate waste. Whether it's office supplies, raw materials, or employees who aren't earning their keep, you know there are measures you could take to cut costs. Manufacturers have learned that becoming more efficient can be difficult, and they don't trim unnecessary costs and stop wasting time and money. You want to establish SMART goals. To improve efficiency, it helps if everyone in your organization understands your clearly defined goals. It also helps if those goals must be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-specific, otherwise known as SMART goals. Even if you're in a service industry, efficiency is worth striving for, as it can always affect your bottom line. If your company goals don't meet every single SMART criteria, then you and your staff may end up spinning your wheels in inefficient activities that can hurt your bottom line. Consider sitting down with your team and then define your goals and make sure they're SMART. Again, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time specific. You want to establish systems. If you or your employees must hand manage every single task that you need accomplished, you may become so mired in minutia that it can get in the way of efficiency. Consider taking a step back from your company's processes and look for a way to establish systems, portions of your business that you can automate. Systems can help free you up and your staff for more important hands-on tasks, thus improving efficiency. Scaling up requires systemization. Look for the bottlenecks. Bottlenecks are points in your process that prevent you from running more quickly and efficiently. They're the sticking places where workflow gets gummed up. Bottlenecks can create backlogs that leave your staff idle, waiting to be able to do their jobs. They can be an efficiency killer. So whether your bottleneck is a task that might benefit from streamlining or a person who's unable to keep up with the rest of your employees, when you identify and resolve bottlenecks, you may find you can accomplish much more. Number 5, use KPIs, or key performance indicators. In addition to setting SMART goals, savvy manufacturers use KPIs to evaluate their progress in achieving those goals. KPIs can help make sure that your goals are clearly communicated to your staff by evaluating them on your prioritized tasks. If your staff knows that it matters to you, they may be better able to help you achieve it. Number 6, establish quality controls. Now, whether you're manufacturing widgets or cleaning houses, providing excellent service and value to your customers is important. If you don't have a way to assess the quality of your finished product and of the staff producing it, you may find yourself struggling to wow your clients. So consider building assessment and evaluation into your process. This can help you learn how much more efficient you can be. You also want to employ root cause analysis. Business owners often face troubles in their business, but the most successful entrepreneurs find ways to surmount them. It's important to avoid treating the symptoms of your problems rather than the cause. Root cause analysis can help prevent just that. One of the simplest strategies you can use to make sure you're getting to the heart of your problem is to ask why, until you actually arrive at the root cause. Take this for example. A manufacturer of watches is having trouble delivering orders on time. She asks why. It turns out one portion of her factory is at a standstill. She asks why again. They don't have the materials that they need to produce their component. She asks why. The materials haven't been ordered. Why? Because the vendor went out of business. By asking why until she got to the real cause, the manufacturer discovers what her course of action should be. She can then find a new vendor and begin meeting deadlines once again. Root cause analysis is about getting to the actionable issues. And number 8, you want to strive for continuous flow. Most manufacturers understand that streamlining their process can help ensure a smooth, continuous flow of work. An important part of streamlining is ensuring that clients are moved through your process without a hitch. What that means in practice is that if you have a marketing team handling leads to your sales team, that happens without customers getting stalled or neglected in between. Clients, like products in manufacturing, must be handed off from one department to the next without being dropped. If those handoffs aren't seamless, you may not be as efficient as you could be. It helps to work toward making your workflow process as smooth and hassle-free as possible. Ice cream shops, accountants, and home repair contractors alike can all benefit from learning from the strategies that manufacturers use to become more efficient and profitable. Even if you're in a service industry, efficiency is worth striving for, as it can always affect your bottom line. You're listening to Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick break and then wrap it all up with one more story after the break.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100inchamberradio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me on yet another Thursday. Next week, when we get together, believe it or not, we're going to have a new president-elect. Who will it be? We've been struggling with this for the last year and a half to 2 years, and come Tuesday, hopefully, we should have our answer. Well, how can you use your calendar to maximize your effectiveness? Now, it's a simple practice, but it will help you accomplish your goals. So what I've done is I've combined knowledge from several amazing books, including The Effective Executive, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and Getting Things Done, and plus my own experience in running my companies into one simple practice that has improved my effectiveness and productivity massively. Number one, you want to list the top 5 high-level goals you need to work on daily. Number 2, decide what percentage of your time should be allocated to each one of those. Number 3, create a recurring calendar block that helps to map out those things. You want to control the external thrash. One of the challenges we have is managing external interruptions or meetings. And the way I deal with this is allocating a certain percentage of my time to meetings and then creating Google Calendar appointment slots that recur. See, you know, if I have the same meeting every week, I just have it recur. And then I know I have to, like this show, I have to block out the time every Thursday to be here from about 11:45 to 1:15. Then if you agree to have that meeting, simply email them a link so that they can book any of those slots that are open and say, you know, please grab an appointment that works for you. This way, you're not allowing external meetings to eat away the prioritized block of time that you've created. You also want to get to the nitty-gritty. Now, I hate being tied down to details ahead of time. If you're a Myers-Briggs folks, I'm a massive P. So I simply take the first 5 minutes of each time block to decide what tasks I'd like to accomplish during that time, write them down, and as I accomplish them, I check them off. I happen to use Asana for my tasks, but anything will do. A great app on your phone is called AnyDo. I often set a timer on my phone for the amount of time for the current block and try to shut down everything else while I focus. And once I feel either the phone vibrate or ding, I know that my time for that time block is over. I got to wrap it up and move on to the next. The takeaway in this is that the key is being purposeful about what you focus on and how much time you're going to devote to each focus area. And then, of course, you just have to do it. And I'm sorry, but there is just no shortcut on that one. You're on your own. I often talk to people that say, well, I got to a certain point and it just got too hard. And I describe that as hitting the wall, if you will. And, you know, sometimes you have to not only hit the wall, but you have to crash through the wall. And not everybody gets that, you know, and some people will rather walk away from a problem than, you know, crash through it, solve it, and then move on and be stronger for it. Once you get to that wall, if you feel like you can't go any further, try pushing through. And I guarantee you that once you solve that problem, you're going to be a better employee for it. Well, online retailers are getting ready for a tax showdown. Pressure is building for Congress to streamline e-commerce rules and sort out state-by-state tax battles. Local business owners aren't the only ones frustrated by the inconsistent and confusing policies surrounding online sales tax. Local and state governments are missing out, too, big time. Jurisdictions across the country would rake in at least $15 billion in additional sales tax revenue if all online orders were subject to tax. The debate is heating up, and it's heading to Washington, according to a new book published by internet retailer Avalara. The online sales tax showdown reports that pressure is building for Congress to revise the 1992 decision that allows many e-commerce businesses to avoid collecting sales tax. Some argue that consumers increasingly shop online for convenience more than price, and that collecting sales tax would have little impact on online retailers. That remains to be seen, noted Don Davis, the editor-in-chief of Internet Retailer Magazine. The next year or two may well see a resolution of this long-simmering conflict and a significant shift in the competitive positions of brick-and-mortar versus web-only retailers. Now, while a federal law on e-commerce sales tax could make collection consistent across the country's 11,000 tax jurisdictions, the debate raises many questions. Would tax rates be determined by the location of the buyer or the seller? Would the government subsidize the software needed to manage tax collection? Would the products and services subject to taxation be standardized? Would small businesses be exempt, as they are under several proposals? The ebook addresses these questions and more as it explores the impact that changing tax regulations would have on online retailers of all sizes. State laws targeting online sales tax collection used to be called the Amazon tax bills in honor of the e-commerce giant. However, Amazon has opened physical distribution centers across the country, and it now collects sales tax in 28 states, representing 84% of the U.S. population. The focus has now shifted to many e-commerce and retail businesses, big and small, who struggle to comply with inconsistent sales tax laws across the country. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. There are a lot of people in brick-and-mortar stores that would like to see the online retailers have to pay the same taxes that they do to kind of level the playing field.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. The Cubs win the World Series. Bryan makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all.
Last night was Game 7 of the World Series, and the Cubs defeated the Indians by the score of 8-7, and they are now World Series champions for the first time in 108 years. In NASCAR's round of eight, Jimmy Johnson won last week's Goodyear Fast Relief 500 at Martinsville Speedway to clinch a playoff spot in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. This week, the teams will head to Texas for the AAA Texas 500 at 2:15 p.m. on Sunday. In NCAA football, they head into Week 10, and the AP Top 10 looks like this. Alabama leads the poll with in the number one spot, followed by Michigan, Clemson, Washington, and Louisville. Ohio State, Texas A&M, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Florida round out the top 10. And NFL Week 9 kicks off tonight with the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Game time is 8:25 p.m., Happy to say I'll be in Giants Stadium this Sunday for the New York Giants versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I'd also like to wish good luck to the Bridgewater Raritan Panthers tonight as they take on Elizabeth High School and try to complete back-to-back undefeated regular seasons. NHL and NBA seasons are underway. Too early to start getting too interested in that just yet. And, of course, we have this.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
There are just five more days till Election Day. Make your decisions. Get to the polls. Polls open here in New Jersey at 6 o'clock in the morning. I believe they close around 8 p.m. Remember, vote no on question 1 and 2. That's just giving the governor a blank check to do whatever he wants and spend it any way he wants, and it's not going to benefit the Transportation Trust Fund as suggested. As always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime. Work out.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Why is it a different brand? Are they all carrying the same color? Do they discuss it before